Every Sunday at 9, sharing her real estate knowledge, tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Allison and her guest experts. And now, her glass is always half full. Here's Allison Norman.
Good morning, good morning. Happy Sunday morning here on the Real Estate Hour. I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. Heard every Sunday morning here on KSRO. And you can turn, you can tune in all kinds of ways on KSRO. I usually get up and go downstairs in the morning and I say, Alexa, play KSRO. And she says, okay. So that's how I listen. But
Alexa's mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, so she, I know, right? She does what you say. Anyway, and there's the KSRO app. There's listening on all the different in the car on the different stations. So thanks for tuning in. Obviously, you found us here since you're listening. You can also listen to the podcast after the show or anytime during the week at KSRO.com. You go to shows. And then look for Ask the Expert, and you'll see Allison Norman Real Estate right there at the top, and that is the Real Estate Hour. So you can find information, phone numbers of guests that we've had, and listen to the show again. So if you missed some important information, you want to hear it again, that's how you do it. We're going to talk about, Joe, what's your name?
Yeah, that's it.
Joe Pasquini.
Have you had your coffee yet?
No, I haven't. I'm having my bubbly water right here, but I'm sorry, Joe. So, and Joe is we always hear your voice and never talk about who you are, so I'm sorry about that. Joe Pasquini, don't worry about that.
I'm just here pushing
the background voice on the Real Estate Hour, joining me, making it all come together every Sunday morning, so thanks for that. And you had an update about the...
Well, I think a lot of people know this by now, but...
Yeah, I just assumed.
You're right about that, but the state's home order... Today it was supposed to end, right? Today was the day, yesterday was the last day. But I don't think it's a surprise to anybody. It's been extended. The note I got... It doesn't even say how long it's going to be extended.
Indefinitely.
Right now, they're worried about the ICO capacity, and they're projecting out 4 weeks. It's got to be equal or greater than 15% for 4 weeks. So we're looking at least 4 weeks. So
yeah,
not a great way to start the morning, but like I said, I think people knew that it was going to happen. And,
I think I knew as soon as they announced it, back in December.
That's the same thing that happened, unbelievably, we're almost a year ago, but March they set a date, and that date was extended.
Yeah,
so
we can do this for 30 days, it's a... everybody has gotten really lax. I think not everybody. I shouldn't say everybody, because there are people taking it very seriously.
You're close with everybody.
And a lot of people, because we're tired of it, But you know what? We need to just stick with it, because that is what's going to take us back out of this, with businesses shut down, and we've got to reduce the numbers and I don't know what the answer is. But anyway, I know, wear a mask, stay away from...
I got mine. And I, even on my, I like to go on a walk, many walks a day.
Yeah.
And even then I'm walking and I have my mask just in case I meet somebody and all that's good stuff. But,
yeah, good.
That's what we need to do.
So just do it. Anyway, wear a mask, be careful. I know it's kind of frustrating because they close down like indoor dining, they close down indoor events or even the outdoor events. And then now people with the weather, people are going inside and I had my neighbors, 2 o'clock in the morning, I heard them out. I think they were in their garage, but still it's an indoor space, a group of people. I don't know. I thought they were watching sports, but not at 2 o'clock in the morning.
I was going to say.
Maybe they're playing video games. I don't know, but I kept hearing this cheering and all of this. And I'm like, come on, you guys. So anyway, I think we're seeing a lot of that.
We are seeing a lot of that.
Yeah,
somebody in my neighborhood bought a pool table for the just this, and they're playing pool in there, so, you know, and whether it's the same family or same household, I do not know, but,
yeah, well, that's the thing. If you have, like, a bubble, but then that, you know, you've got a group of people that you spend time with, but then those people maybe have another group of people they're spending time with, or maybe they're not being as careful as you, so... you know, they say find your little bubble and stay in it, but, you know, you can only do that so much. So anyway, that's enough of that. So as we all figured when they announced that we were going back into the shelter in place and that it was extended, and we all kind of knew that it would be. So anyway, let's, you know, and thoughts and prayers to everybody out there who is dealing with either, you know, either has the virus or has lost someone to the virus, or those of you that are, you know, businesses shut down, having a hard time making ends meet, and there's a lot of that right now as well. There's a lot of help out there in the county. There's that line, that phone number, if you just call 211, it's an information hotline for the county. They have a lot of resources that they can direct you to, places you can get, you know, a free meal, places that you can get, you know, some food for the week. There's the Redwood Food Bank, and a lot of resources out there. So reach out, and a lot of people have never, ever been in this situation before where they're having to ask for help. But there's a lot of people out there wanting to help. So just, you know, reach out if you need it. Just reach out. Anyway, so we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk a little bit about the numbers, what's happening here in this first week that we just went through. We're in day 10 of 2021. We won't talk about what happened this week in the government. That was interesting and scary. But anyway, let's not go that way. But let's talk about the good things that happened this year so far. Real estate market is still moving along nicely. We'll talk a little bit about the numbers when we come back from our break. And we're going to dive in after that. We won't really dive in, but we're going to be talking about septic systems. And I always say that and I go, oh, that's not the right word to use for septic systems. Don't dive in. I actually was
Use the word discuss.
So maybe discuss. That's it. Discuss or disgust? No. So we'll talk about septic systems.
You got that coffee kicked in for you, Allison. your one-liners are pretty good.
Oh, good. Now. Okay. So so what kind of prompted this is a couple of conversations I've had this week. I have a transaction I'm working on right now with a buyer where it was really unclear what kind of septic system we had going in. The MLS listing said one thing, and then we heard it was something else, and then, you know, when we got there, got it all uncovered, it was actually a kind of a combination of the two things. So it's really important to know, you know, one thing as a homeowner and a seller, do some research up front to find out, you know, if you don't know, if you've lived there a really long time, excuse me, do some research to find out what you have, you know, maybe get that test. Really, I think it's a good idea as a homeowner with a septic system to get that test done ahead of time before you put it on the market. Have that information to hand to the buyer. In this particular situation, it was really, 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 really vague as to what was there. The county records didn't match what the seller was saying. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in the different types of septic systems. The other thing that prompted me wanting to talk about this is that it is that time of the year where if you're buying land and you're going to be putting in a septic system, there's a little window of time where you can do a wet water perk test, percolation test, which is something that you need when you're installing a septic system. January 1st to March 1st is typically when they open it up, but it all depends on how much rain we have. And right now, that testing window is not open yet because we haven't reached that amount of rain yet. A couple of years ago, when we had that really, really, really wet March, they extended it all the way out, I think, into April, and because we had enough water to where it has to do with the groundwater and how quickly the septic is going to filter through and how much, you know, we don't want it to affect the groundwater. So all kinds of things involved in that. And then I want to talk a little bit about septic vesting. When you get a septic test, you have a certain amount of time to do that. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And that came up on a conversation with a couple of lots that I have listed in on Bloomfield out in Sacramento. Sacramento, oh my gosh, that's a basketball.
Another
wow,
cough.
I don't know, the brain today. So where did Sacramento? Anyway, it started with S. I'm out in Sebastopol. Out in Sebastopol, I have two lots. We'll talk about that when we come back. They both have had a septic inspection done, not vested perks, so it actually needs to be done again, and we'll talk about what that means. So all about that. We'll talk a little bit about the numbers when we come back from the break, and then we'll go right into all about septic systems here in Sonoma County, what you need to know. Okay, this is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We'll be right back.
The easiest way to listen to KSRO on your phone is with the KSRO app. Apple CarPlay and Android Auto are built in, and you can sign up for breaking news notifications. The KSRO app, available for download now at the Apple App Store, Google Play, and KSRO.com. Depend on the KSRO app.
Sonoma County has been through a lot. And once again, local businesses are finding creative solutions to stay in business, support their employees, and put money back into the community.
As a local realtor and Sonoma County resident, I've seen firsthand the direct link between the health and strength of our community and that of the real estate market. I've raised a family here, been through the aftermath of the fires, I've seen the real estate market fluctuate, and have seen our community rally. As a member of Sonoma County Go Local, I'll be doing what I can to give back to the community by featuring a local business or nonprofit each week on the Real Estate Hour. Stay safe, keep socially distancing, support our community, and reach out if you need some help. We're in this together. We are Sonoma Strong.
Allison Norman is a realtor with Keller Williams Realty and host of Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, Sundays at 9 a.m. on KSRO. To discuss your specific real estate needs or to make a no-obligation appointment, call or text 707-799-3617. DRE license number 01720334.
Rincon Valley hears KSRO on Crystal Clear FM at 103.5.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It is the Real Estate Hour. Happy Sunday morning here on the Real Estate Hour. Heard every Sunday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. And we are talking about real estate today. What an interesting thing to talk about real estate on a real estate show. But we're going to, I'm looking for, I left it in the car. I had a, here it is. Anyway, I wanted to talk about, just a little market update. And real quickly before that, I've got some listings on the market that I want to tell you about. So that in case you're out there looking, or if you're a realtor listening, in case you have a client looking for this particular property, I've got some for you. And then also congratulations to a couple of buyers that just, or a buyer and a seller that just closed escrow this week. One of them was supposed to close at the end of the year, and we rolled that into the beginning of the year, and that was a piece of land out in Fountain Grove. Interesting process. We went into escrow in October, so it's a long process. It was a construction loan. If you're thinking about buying some land and rolling in the cost of building the house, it's a really, really extensive process, but it's a very cool tool that they have. We used Umpqua Bank. They do a great job. We actually, Steve Curtis, Umpqua Bank, was on the show a few months ago. I think it was back in November, kind of when we had started this process with these buyers. But in this situation, there was a already building permit and plans. And even with that, it was a kind of an extensive process for them because you have to, there's a lot of details, a lot of things that need to be filled out. And you really need to make sure you have a title officer that understands the process with a construction loan. It's a very different process of closing escrow. There's a site inspection, there's an underwriter review through the title company. There's different things that don't normally happen in a regular transaction. So it's really important to have an escrow company that knows what they're doing as well. We used Conrad Fernandez over at, where is he? I don't want to say the wrong one. I think he's Fidelity. Anyway, he did a great job, and he really knows. In fact, we started out with a different title officer or escrow officer, and they transferred it over to him because he knows what he's doing. Anyway, so it was a interesting process. Congratulations to my buyers of that property. And then 1545 Surrey Drive over here off of West 3rd in Santa Rosa. That one just closed escrow. We had five offers, went for about $30,000 over, I think. It was quite a bit over our list price, and had a little bit of a credit in there with some things that came up on an inspection, which happens. But in the end, everybody was happy, and congratulations to those new homeowners that are probably moving in right now because we just closed on Friday. And then, as what often happens in real estate, we have things that where you just can't negotiate. You can't come, buyer and seller can't come to an agreement on what the property is worth based on some of the things that came up in an inspection. Sometimes they can't get their loan. Sometimes, I had one transaction last year where one of the buyers, elderly gentleman, passed away, and they could no longer buy the house, so we went back on the market. And the point I'm making is sometimes things go back on the market. So 1891 Windmill Circle is a little, it's a PUD, 966 square foot, two bedroom, one and a half bathroom. And it's over at Windmill Circle off of Marlowe Road in Santa Rosa. We're back on the market, $325,000. It needs a little bit of updates, and there were a couple of things that came up, and that was one of these situations where buyer and seller couldn't come to agreement on what that looked like as far as value and credit and adjustment in everything. So we are back on the market. I'm actually getting quite a few showings on that one. So hopefully we'll be back in escrow shortly. And then at 195 Chablis Way up in Cloverdale, the Cloverdale market is really hot. We just came on the market, I think on Wednesday or Thursday, and my poor sellers, just tons of showings. It has to be by appointment only. We have to have a little bit of a window in between showings. And they've been spending a lot of time in the car with the two cats and the dog to get out of the way for showings. But that property is three bedroom, two bath. It is 1,736 square feet on a 9,600 square foot lot. So it's 0.22 acres. It's so just under a quarter acre parcel. It backs to a big parcel that, so you don't have a house right there in your backyard. But it's got a great garden area, a nice upper deck, and then a nice, really kind of secluded, shady, comfortable little private lower patio area. And these sellers have really done a lot of great work on the property. And a lot of the times the biggest problems that we have when you're selling a property is deferred maintenance. And you didn't do the upkeep that you needed to do while you were living there. And then suddenly you think, that your house is worth all this money, even though you didn't fix the things that needed to be fixed. So we often see, big issues under the house or siding issues or the roof or plumbing, leaking pipes under the house or whatever. That's not the case at all with this property. They have done everything they needed to do along the way. They've lived there for over 30 years. New furnace, water heater, updated the kitchen, updated the bathroom. They even added, they converted this basement storage space into this great little room now for, a great room to, for the kids to hang out in or for an office space. So it's a great property. It's listed at $625,000 up in Cloverdale. We're going to be looking at offers, if any, which I think we will, tomorrow. Because there have been quite a few showings, and I've had some agents asking about it. And then 5400 Wilshire Drive, I've talked about it. It's one bedroom, one bath, plus a bonus room. This is a legal second unit, and it's on a 1.04 acre parcel in the Reebley Valley area off of Mark West Springs Road. And there's a building pad where you could build a replacement property for what was originally there, and it has a brand new septic system. It you could build a 2,005 square foot home, and it's just a great opportunity. And parcel has two entrances, fully fenced and gated. It's a one plus bedroom, what we call an ADU, granny unit, in-law unit, and then you can build the other house, or you don't have to build the other house. You can keep that as your main house, and build a big workshop or a barn or another tiny home or another small home, or you can add on to this one. You can build up, you can build out. There's so many options. It's really a unique opportunity. That's listed at $795,000. And then I have two lots, and this is where the topic of vesting your septic perk kind of came up, and I wanted to talk about. I have two lots in overlooking the Blucher Valley area, out kind of just towards Canfield Road on Bloomfield, but it's not on Bloomfield. It's off on this little side road called Orr Lane. Addresses are 2826 and 2830 Bloomfield Road. They are both 1.78 and 1.79 acres. They are side by side, one in front of the other off of a private easement driveway, and both have a well that was installed a couple of years ago, and both have had a five-bedroom septic perk done. And because it wasn't vested, it actually needs to be done again. And vested, basically, you're locking in the permit. I've talked to several people. I've talked to the septic, the county surveyor, and the septic guy, and they said it shouldn't have any problem re-perking. It just does have to be done again. And there are some other things that we're in the process of taking care of to get that all settled. And you can have a house and a granny unit on both of these parcels. Check with the county on that, and it depends on a few things. But it's a really interesting, really beautiful property, and kind of a great opportunity. So take a look at that. I've actually had some increased interest in that in the last week or so. Those are both listed at $599,000. So whew, that's it. I've got going on for listings. And then we're going to talk about about septic. Oh no, let's talk about the market real quick. And then actually, I don't think we're going to have time because we're going to need to take a little break. But the market is going along very nicely. There are 497 single family homes active on the market right now. If you want to get out and look at a home right now, you know, this is a great time to do it. A lot of people are kind of still, you know, waking up from from Christmas, or still kind of getting over the whole thing. You know, we've made it safe. There are rules in place so you can safely go look at a property. Everybody has to wear a mask. We have to have, it's by appointment only. You have a little form you have to sign. The seller has a form that they sign when they listed the property, saying that, you know, they understand that, you know, the possibility that, you know, and that people are coming into their house, and you're signing something as a buyer saying, I don't have, as far as I know, I don't have coronavirus. You know, we ask you not to touch very many things in the house. It's kind of hard not to, but as a seller, you know, you can leave doors open. You can, I always suggest you wipe things down when you know there's been a showing. Come back in the house, wipe things down. The buyer's agent is supposed to do that, but we all know, you know, sometimes things don't happen. So I would, you know, if it was my house people were coming into, I'd wipe things down when I came back after showing. Anyway, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, I'll finish up talking about the market, and then it'll be all about septics for the rest of the hour. Isn't that exciting? It really is. I know it sounds gross, but it's necessary and it's exciting. If you're into that kind of thing, you're finding out about country property and what you need to know. So we'll be right back. I'm Allison Norman, and you know, like I said, you can listen to the podcast if you missed a part of the show, or if you want to listen, the podcast at ksro.com. Until then, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman.
We got 20 seconds, so I'm going to throw. Bob from Bodega Bay just called in and said the waves are very high over there, so don't go to the coast. There are some coastal flood advisories, not including Sonoma County, but just don't go to the coast.
Thank you. Be careful. Stay away from the waves.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
A blunt opinion from one lawmaker who survived the attack on the Capitol.
I think we were very close to actually having members of Congress killed.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Illinois Republican on ABC's This Week, says he's in favor of invoking the 25th Amendment to have the vice president and cabinet remove the president from office. The first and most urgent priority in hunting those responsible for the Capitol attack is to identify several groups of men who forced their way in through windows, smashing through doors, attacking police, say sources to ABC News Chief Justice correspondent Pierre Thomas.
It's no coincidence that in the last 24 hours, the man who was in Nancy Pelosi's office, feet on her desk, arrested. The man who stole Speaker Pelosi's lectern, arrested.
60 degrees, 58 along the coast. Cloudy skies overnight, low 39, 44 on the shores. Mostly cloudy then for Monday, high of 61, 57 in Bodega Bay. Tuesday, similar, mostly cloudy in the low 60s, high 50s along the coast. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It is the Real Estate Hour here every Sunday morning here on KSRO. I'm Allison Norman here to tell you all about real estate or talk all about the what's happening in Sonoma County. Before we went on the break, we threw out a quick advisory from a listener who called in. Was that Bob?
Yeah, that was Bob from Bodega Bay.
Thanks, Bob.
For that, Bob. He's just saying don't go to the beaches. The waves are pretty rough out there, and there is a coastal hazard message issued by the National Weather Service at 1 o'clock this morning. It doesn't include Sonoma County, but it's San Francisco Bay Area, Monterey. So I'd be cautious. You're not supposed to be going out there anyway under the conditions. But we remember what happened a couple weeks ago.
Last week, I think.
But so stay away from the coast. It's dangerous out there. And thanks a lot, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Bob, for the reminder. And you're right, Joe, that family that passed, that tragedy, I think it was last week, was from out of the area. And it's something really important to understand. And we all know that live here and have grown up here or even lived here for an extended period of time. California is, Northern California beaches and coastal waters way different than what you think of when you think California beaches. It's rugged. It's dangerous. There's a huge riptide.
And you know the weird part about that, I guess interesting would be the word. During the Thanksgiving weekend, my son came over and his girlfriend, who had never been in this area before, and we went out to Bodega Bay,
mm-hmm.
and it was unbelievable. It was so beautiful out
it's
there.
So
Everything
pretty.
Was
yeah.
that calm. And I told her, this isn't usually the way it is
no.
out here.
Well, and
usually it's
even,
cold. And,
yeah, I know. So, yeah. In the fall, though, in fall and winter is the best time of the year to be out there.
They used to talk about that at Candlestick with the mm-hmm. Giants played during the summer. It was cold
it was
and stuff.
So cold, yeah.
For football, the weather was great.
So
don't go out to the coast today.
Or just
and
be
again,
careful.
With the shelter in place, you're not supposed to anyway, but
well, I think,
don't go out there
did
today.
They close the parks down again? Too,
I don't, that, or, I don't
know.
I can't
mean,
answer
like,
that.
But, an important note, it really, if you're from out of the area, new to the area, it really is very dangerous. Don't turn your back to the waves. That's what we were taught. I grew up in the area. That's what we were taught as kids, don't put your back to the waves. And although I remember, we used to go to Stinson Beach because I grew up in Marin, and we'd play in the waves. And that riptide, which is really, really dangerous, can pull you a quarter of a mile out to sea, and it pulls out from underneath you. But we would play in the waves, and you'd get caught in this thing where you'd get tumbled around in the wave, and we all, crazy kids thought it was fun and didn't realize now, looking back as a parent, how really, really dangerous that was, because that was actually kind of a little riptide that was trying to pull us out, and we're all, oh, this is so fun. It's not. It's very dangerous. Stay away from the waves, and very sad thing that happened out there. There were four people, I think, that two different situations, two instances where The waves caught them off guard. So I think one person had actually fallen off a rock. It's just, it's slippery out there. It's wet. Just be careful. And like Joe and Bob said, stay away from the coast today. Go, you know, go up Sonoma Mountain, go Taylor Mountain, go for a hike out that way. And just stay safe. So we're going to talk about
Taylor Mountain. Good thing's a good idea. I haven't been out there yet. So
that's great. Oh yeah, you go up. You go up to the top, and you can see all the whole, you know, Santa Rosa Plain. You can see down to Rotor Park. You know, San Francisco. You can you can see out really far. It's very nice up there. It's a climb. You've been doing a lot of walking, Joe. So you're probably ready to start the incline now.
Well, we'll see. Get back to the septic.
Yeah, let's talk about septic. So a couple of things. So if you're buying country property or buying land in the county where there is not a public sewer system, you know, that you can hook up to, so that you flush the toilet and it all leaves and somebody else deals with it, you're going to need a septic system, which is a on-site wastewater disposal system. And there are different types of systems. There's what I came across in this listing I was talking about earlier was a cesspool, and you see a lot of those still in Sonoma County. Mostly out in the river area, and the older homes that, you know, that's what they did back there. And a cesspool is basically a redwood box with, you know, four sides and a gravel bottom. And the, you flush the toilet, everything goes through the pipes out into this pit and then filters down into the ground. that's an old antiquated system. They are, many of them, still functioning and doing what they're supposed to do. But if you're going to remodel, if you have a fire and need to rebuild, if you are adding on, you want to add a second unit, anything that you need to do is going to trigger you needing to update this system. And that means a new system that is to today's current standards. So it's something to be really careful with, especially out in the river, especially with the new regulations that are now statewide, as far as how close you can be to, you know, underground water, how close you can be to creeks and streams, and the river out at the river area. It's, you know, a lot of things are very close to the river, so a lot of properties. So it's really, really important to have that septic inspection when you buy a property. And find out what you have. And like I said at the beginning, if you're a seller, do the homework ahead of time to help things out so that you don't have a big surprise in the end. As we're doing, you know, you the buyers in escrow, everybody's excited, and we do our septic inspection and find out that it's, you know, needs to be replaced, or it's not what we thought it was, or, you know, all of that. So it's really important to find out. I had a listing that closed earlier in 2020 where they hadn't accessed the septic for years and years because their septic person told them you don't need to, as long as it's working. They didn't ever have a problem, so they never accessed it. When we went to do the septic inspection, found out that the septic tank and the opening to the septic tank that you would need to access to not only empty it but do the inspection was underneath a probably 8 foot in diameter palm tree that obviously was, you know, probably, you know, a couple of inches, 6 feet maybe, I mean 6 inches wide where that was planted 20 some years ago. But now it was this huge palm tree that we had to remove to access the septic tank. So really important as a seller, think about doing that ahead of time. It's going to cost you close to $1,000, $800 to $1,000 to do the septic draining and inspection. It costs about, it depends how easy it is to access the septic tank. If they have to dig it out, they're going to charge you about $100 an hour, I think it is, $90-some an hour, to dig out the tank. Actually, I shouldn't quote that price because I'm not sure. But they charge you by the hour to uncover the tank. It's something you can do yourself if you want. Save a little bit of money on that. If you have risers, which actually bring the opening up to a level where you can just take the lid off and they can drain it from there. But you need to have it pumped. So the pumping company comes out. That costs about, you know, close to $500 to do that pumping part. And then you're gonna, if you have a septic inspection done, it's another $450, $500 for that. So, you know, and those are just kind of ballpark figures. It's pretty consistent across the board with different inspectors that's the price. So just plan on that, and it may be something that you want to do ahead of time. If you own a property with a septic, you're getting ready to sell, and really do it, you know, close to when you're going to be putting it on the market, so that you have a very current inspection. A lot of times a buyer will ask you to pump your system, or you to be responsible for paying for the pumping of the system for their inspection. It's a little tricky how to write that into the contract, because we don't want anything about a septic inspection in the contract, because then the lender, and more particularly the underwriter, is going to say, oh, I see you had a septic inspection. We'd like to see that, because it's in the contract, so we have to have it. And we like to keep all of those inspections out of the contract, so that they aren't part of the loan. They don't become any of the loan's business as to what the inspection said. But anyway, it is a good idea. If the seller is going to pump the tank, I've had it happen before where they go, oh, we pumped the tank a couple of weeks ago for you. And it's like, okay, well, now you got to do it again, because the septic inspector needs a dry, empty tank in order to see the bottom and all the sides and make sure there's no cracks, there's no root intrusion. And then, you know, then they're going to run it and make sure the baffles are working, the inlet and the outlet, and everything's working as it should. So important as a seller, don't do the prep work and pump everything until the day of the inspection. And usually the septic inspector will coordinate that with the pumper. If it needs to be dug up, they'll hire them, you know, they'll have them do it, and then expect to be, you know, handing them a check when you're done, whether you're buyer or seller, whatever you've negotiated in the contract for that. Anyway, important to know that. So I got a little off track. I was talking about the kinds of septic systems. So there is the cesspool. There is a standard septic system, which is usually a concrete tank with two different openings and two different kind of chambers, and there's where the solids go, and then the liquid goes out into this leach field where it kind of leaches down into the ground. There's usually two or three, depending on, you know, what you need and what your system, how your system's been set up. But there are leach fields, and when you're a buyer getting an inspection and looking at the septic system, there's a couple of things that are important. One, obviously, you want to know that the system is working correctly now. You want to know that the tank is intact. You want to know that it is flushing everything out as it's supposed to, and then you want to know that the leach field is doing its job. And so there's a couple of things they look for. The other thing you need to know, and the septic inspector will help you figure this out, is where is there an additional reserve area? And it's important that you have a reserve area, because at some point in its life, the septic system is going to fail. It will at some point. Maybe it'll be 50 years from now, maybe it'll be 10 years from now. The system's going to fail, and the leach field will come to the end of its life, and you'll need a new area to have a leach field. So it's really important to identify where that will be. And, you know, with the restrictions and all of the rules getting harder and harder and harder and more strict, and now it's statewide, it's important to know what you're looking at if you are going to need to update that system at some point. So important to know that. The other thing that we see a lot of places, you see it a lot, especially in, you know, like the Santa Rosa Plain out in Southwest Santa Rosa. A lot of areas, basically, if there's high groundwater, you need to build, your leach field isn't going to work in the ground. So you need a mound system. So the entire system is above ground. You'll see a lot of times on country property, you'll see a big berm, a big mound long, sometimes, you know, 50 feet long, 100 feet long, and you know, with grass over it and plants or whatever. But you go, oh, what is that mound? Well, that's a mound, a septic system. And so that a lot of times is necessary, always is necessary, if there's a high water table and the leach field can't be in the ground because there's too much water. And then if those don't work, there's engineered systems that take the water. Sometimes if you have a lot of times out in the river, what you need is something where you've got the tank and then the leach field, you know, you basically need to pump it up to a higher area. Sold a property in Cloverdale up in the Asti Ridge kind of area a few years ago. Had the septic tank down below, pumped it up to a leach pit at the top, where it's basically a bottomless pit that it just filtered down into, and it was at the top of the hill. So there's a lot of different systems, and it's something that you, if you're building, you're buying a bare piece of land, you're going to want to look into all of these things. What are your different options? What are they going to cost? The things that make it a little difficult with that is that there are those tests that need to be done, and some of them need to be done at a certain time of the year when the conditions are good for that type of test, and that usually has to do with wet weather. And there's wet weather percolation grounding, and groundwater testing that has to be done. And so Sonoma County just released a notice saying as of January 7th, it is not, testing has not yet opened for the season. The information on this table that is on, if you go to Sonoma County, Permit Sonoma, which was formerly PRMD. A lot of us old timers know of it as that. But it's the Permit Sonoma. There's a lot of good information about this. But basically, they've broken it down to seven different zones: Cloverdale, Guerneville, Healdsburg, Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sebastopol, and Sonoma. And then it shows where you need to be in order for them to open up the wet weather testing and the groundwater and percolation testing, which we all call it a perk test because it's easier to say. We're going to take a quick break. I just looked at the time, and Joe's waving his arms at me. Let's take a break, and when we come back, I want to finish talking about this wet weather percolation and groundwater testing and some other things you need to know about septic systems. I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We'll be right back.
Sonoma County Sheriff Mark Essek.
Never too soon to start talking about fire preparedness, Pete, and I'm glad you brought it up. We're going to do where we have a public education campaign. We talk about evacuation routes. We talk about pre-planning and what the public can do.
Live and local, Steve Jackson on the drive. Afternoons on KSRO.
Sonoma County has been through a lot, and once again, local businesses are finding creative solutions to stay in business, support their employees, and put money back into the community.
As a local realtor and Sonoma County resident, I've seen firsthand the direct link between the health and strength of our community and that of the real estate market. I've raised a family here, been through the aftermath of the fires, I've seen the real estate market fluctuate, and have seen our community rally. As a member of Sonoma County Go Local, I'll be doing what I can to give back to the community by featuring a local business or nonprofit each week on the Real Estate Hour. Stay safe, keep socially distancing, support our community, and reach out if you need some help. We're in this together. We are Sonoma Strong.
Allison Norman is a realtor with Keller Williams Realty and host of Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, Sundays at 9 a.m. on KSRO. To discuss your specific real estate needs or to make a no-obligation appointment, call or text 707-799-3617. DRE license number 01720334.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO, depend on it.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. Happy Sunday morning. Are you dodging raindrops today? It is a little dreary and cold. Joe, have you taken your Christmas decorations down yet?
I did.
Oh, good.
Actually, I did it the day before New Year's Day.
Okay, you know, usually I do New Year's Day. This year I just couldn't do it. I just did a couple of days ago.
There's a few still out there I noticed last night, but yeah, I did. I put it up real early this year, earlier than I usually do, like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
I put mine up really late, so I'm all, no, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, well, I got the idea, you know, our sister station here, what they do, start Christmas music in October,
yeah,
or something,
yeah,
like that, early November.
Early.
And you know, I got that.
We needed it this year.
People, and you know, it looks better around here with Christmas lights.
I know. I actually really do. Does. I still have my lights up, and I have been turning them on still. My neighbor and I are the only ones with it left, my next door neighbor.
There's a couple in our
We're competing to see who's going to be the last one standing, I think.
Well, only 11 months to go.
I promise I'll take them down. I won't be that person. Anyway, so we're talking about, let's shift gears back to talking about septic. And I was talking about groundwater testing, and that the Sonoma County has issued a notice saying that it has not. We are not at the levels yet needed to open up that groundwater testing and percolation. I have a hard time saying that. Percolation, which we call a perk test. Anyway, so that is, you know, you need to have, it's usually between January 1st and March 1st. It can start earlier. It could also go a little bit longer. Like I said, a few years ago, we had a really wet March, and it actually, I think, went into April, that there was enough water that they extended it and they could do the wet weather percolation and groundwater testing. So, but they have to, it has to be after having received 50% of the average rainfall. So we're at where, you know, Santa Rosa needs to have 15 inches of rain. The total to date is 5.53. Cloverdale needs to have 20 inches of rain. That the total to date is 8.3. So we're well under where we need to be. Boy, Sebastopol, 17.5 inches of rain needed. We only have 5.64 inches. So well under where we need to be. If you're buying some land and you're going to need that wet water or groundwater testing done, important to understand that you can only do it a certain time of the year. And then there's also a dry water well testing time of the year as well, and that just ended. Well, not just. There was the springs and shallow wells closed as of Thursday, October 1st, 2020. The deep wells are greater than 50 feet. Dry weather testing season for deep wells maybe extend beyond October 1st, which it did. They actually just closed that January 6th, 2021. And, you know, so it's just important to understand when you're buying a piece of land that doesn't have hookups to the county or city water system, doesn't have hookups to the county or city sewer system, doesn't already have the infrastructure that you need, the septic tank or septic system. If you can find a piece of land that already has that, it's great. And in the case of the property I have, the two lots I have out on Bloomfield Road, the seller, you know, thinking ahead that this would be a great idea to do, went ahead and put a well on each of those lots, and he had the septic inspection perk test done and all of that, and then through, you know, for whatever circumstance, didn't get it taken care of, you know, didn't get a septic put in by the time that the test expired or the vesting expired. So I've had people ask me when I explain, you know, when I talk about vesting, well, what is vesting? So vesting basically means guarding against changes in the septic regulations before you build. So you can get a septic design, you get everything approved, and then that approval, you get a certificate that is that is good for, if it's an approved septic system, it can be vested for up to 3 years. And an installed approved system can be vested for 2 years. And then the vesting certificate transfers with the property if it's sold. So if you're sitting on a piece of property that you're going to be selling, you know, it really, you know, in a buyer's perspective, to say it has a vested system or a vested perk, that means that they've already done some of the work for you, and that's something that you don't need to know, and you don't need to wait for that time of year when you can get it done. So it's important to know that in what you have. And in this case, you know, if you do that and then you don't sell it for a few years, that certificate's going to go away, and no, you cannot renew the certificate. However, you can submit the original septic design approved under an existing vesting certificate to be renewed for the compliance with the standards in effect at the time. They say, you know, say, is this still compliant with today's standards? And they may issue a new vesting certificate. Big may right there. Capital letters, they might. So always important to talk to the county. And, you know, the county website has some great information. If you just go to Permit Sonoma, I think you can even still go PRM, you know, Google PRMD, and it comes up Permit Sonoma, because that was previously their name, and now they're Permit Sonoma. Lot of great information, including what we like to do. And what's really nice is I, you know, used to have to go down or send my sellers or buyers down to the county. You know, if you remember, if you're my age, if you were a child of the 60s or 70s, you remember going into the library or at school and the little microfiche and the little thing that you know, it was a little miniature writing that you can't, it was like a slide, and you put it in the machine and it pops up on the screen. And this is such an antiquated system. And that's what we were doing at the county. And now, and now, because of COVID, there's so many good things, I think, have come out of COVID, where we've learned that we can do things much more virtually, and we can save time and be more efficient. What they're doing, a couple of things. They have some great information on the website where you can go to look at the permit history for any property that is unincorporated county property. You need the parcel number. You need the address. And it's always a good idea to search by both the parcel number and the address. And in some situations, the parcel number may be changed over the years. If there's a lot line adjustment, the parcel number is going to change, which is the case in these lots on Bloomfield that I've listed. Those, when they did a lot line adjustment, the parcel number changed. So important to look through address and parcel number to pull up the permit history. And then you can go and see what the zoning is for your property. You can, or a property that you're interested in buying. And what's cool, that we don't have to now go down there. You can email them, and if you go on their website, there's an email, or a place to click that says contact us, and there's an email, and you email them and say, I'd like all of the documents that you have available for this property. Give them the AP number and give them the property address, and within a day or two, they'll send you back everything that you normally would have gone in, sat down at the little desk, put the little microfiche in there, and then hit print and paid 20 cents per copy and all that. Now they just send it to you for free. So it's really cool that you can get all this information. It's really important. So if you're thinking of buying country property, if you have a country property, if you're thinking of building on a lot, it's one of my favorite things to do is working with country property and helping people through that whole process. I'd love to help you. If you are thinking about buying, if you're thinking about doing a construction loan and building, or if you have country property to sell or property out at the river, have some questions, don't need to list it right away, but maybe sit down and talk with me and I can help you through the process of what you need to do to get it ready. Something I love to do and I would be happy to do for you. My number is 799-3617, 707, 799-3617. I'm an active realtor here in Sonoma County and love what I do. So thanks for joining me. We'll be back next week every Sunday here on the Real Estate Hour. And you can go to ksro.com if you missed any information from the podcast or from the show. You can listen to the podcast and we'll be back next week with more fun information about Sonoma County. Have a great day. Give me a call if you need anything. I'm always glad to help. Again, 799-3617. This is Allison Norman. It's been great chatting with you today. Have a great day.
The preceding was a paid presentation.
News, traffic, weather, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk. KSRO Santa Rosa.
Bad as it was, one lawmaker says Wednesday's attack on the Capitol could have been much worse.